our message this morning, I'm going to continue an idea I began last week, and this is the idea of a Christian worldview. We recognized really over the last couple of months that my generation and even the generation below me is exposed to so many differing ideas that my parents and especially my grandparents' generation never had even heard of. And the question we asked is, how can a Christian stay grounded in this chaotic world? By looking to the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, we understood that we need to trust in the Lord. Much like a ring has multiple prongs holding it up, our faith in God must encompass everything that we do, and that is then when we will stay grounded in God. The question I want to pose this morning continues it, but shifts focus a bit. How can my trust in the Lord grow? How can my trust in the Lord grow? It's not merely enough to say, I trust in God, I'm good for the rest of my life. Nor is it good enough just to make one proclamation with your mouth, Jesus is Savior, and then live the rest of the life as you have. But rather, to really stay grounded in God, our trust must continue to grow and to flourish and to live. How can my trust in the Lord grow? To answer this question, we're going to look at a principle from Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Now, I want us to read a good portion of this psalm together, and then we're going to notice what this is teaching us about God. So let's read it together. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, and all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the great and small. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Not only is this a beautiful psalm of praise, but this is also a wisdom psalm. Many different psalms focus on principles of wisdom, and this is one that really focuses on trust in the Lord. Do you notice how that theme of trust in the Lord is repeated a few different times throughout this psalm? Now, there's many different principles this psalm gives us, but there's one specific principle that I would really like for us to glean this morning, and that comes from verse 8. Those who make idols become like them, as do all who trust in them. The principle of verse 8 is this: you become like what you behold. This is a principle I've introduced before in my Nature of God class, but it's an important one I want to come back to. You become like what you behold. Notice the problem that he's talking about here. As you look, especially at verse 2, I think the situation of this psalm is the scoffing of the nations. The nations are scoffing, for some reason, at Israel and saying, where is their God? We really don't know the context of this psalm, but here's what it seems. It seems that a foreign nation is arising in power against Israel, and they are scoffing Israel, saying, where is your God to help you? Where is your God who will save you? Where is your God who will redeem you? Then the rest of the psalm goes on to proclaim, well, the idols of the world are foolish, but our God reigns. That's what this psalm is claiming. But as you look especially at verse 4 down through verse 8, we'll go into this in detail in a second. But there is detail after detail about the foolishness of idols. And then the psalmist proclaims one of the wisest statements, I think, in Scripture. Those who make idols become like them. so do all who trust in them. So here's the answer before we continue. How does our trust in the Lord grow? We must continually behold the Lord. You must continually behold the Lord. We understand this principle, right? You become like what you behold. I've started to note that I have, over the last really 3 months, developed many different behavioral patterns of a 15-month-old. Not even knowing it. On Friday night at the study, I was trying to tell someone bye, and Hannah looked at me. I started waving bye-bye. Hannah looked at me and said, "That is the weirdest wave I've ever seen." And I started thinking about it, and I was like, bye-bye. I just talked like a 15-month-year-old. And now my daughter's staring at me. And we've recognized that Brooklyn has started to develop many of our own behavioral tics as well. Even the way that she says the word hi is very similar to the way that I say the word hi. So even from hi to bye, I've become like my daughter, my daughter's become like me, and we're both trying to be like Jessica. I mean, this is really the state of my life right now. Now, if you were to ask me, Ryan, where did you learn to wave? I don't think any of us could really think back at a point in our life and say, this is where I learned to wave. When I was 5 months old, or when I was 5 years old even, my parents set me down and showed me, this is how you wave. Let me ask you, how do you wave? You've probably picked it up from someone and don't even know it. What about how do you walk? How do you walk? Grayson's in Florida, of course, this morning. But Grayson can show you exactly how I walk. He can imitate my walk so perfectly. I didn't realize this until I was about 18 years old, but I walk with purpose, right? I walk with purpose. I never walk, I never just amble around. I walk with purpose. And I didn't realize until probably about a year after this, I really started to wonder, where did I learn to walk? Because my dad doesn't walk this way. My mom doesn't walk this way. But it was from my papaw. I have even gotten the way that I walk to my papaw. Most of the expressions that I use. Unknowingly, I have picked these up somewhere in my life. Brethren, this is not a conscious process to where you just recognize, I am going to be like my father, therefore do all the things that my father does. This is the process where I am continually around my father, and perhaps even unknowingly, I am going to become like my father. I spend so much time with my precious daughter, and so unknowingly, I am going to do things like she does. I have observed my papaw so much in my life that unknowingly, I am going to become like my papaw. This is a principle of life, a principle of behavior. You become like what you behold. Probably not intentionally, and probably not consciously, but you become like what you behold. Now, before I expound on this in a bit more spiritual sense, I do want us to note two different barriers to beholding God. Going back to those of my generation and those below, where we are just continually bombarded with ideologies and philosophies and views that are not in accordance with the Christian ideals, how do we keep our eyes on the Lord? How do we continually behold the Lord? It's no new claim that our world is cacophonous. What that means is our world is continually noisy. There are continually information. There is continual ideas. Everything that we have around us is a continual stream of noise. How do we continue beholding our God in such a noisy world? Two barriers I want to observe. Look first of all back to Psalm 115 verse 1. Psalm 115 verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, but to you do we give glory. And for the sake of your steadfast love and for your faithfulness, why should the nation say, where is their God? What is the context of Israel here? The Israelites should remember, as Isaiah reminded them, your hope comes from Zion. Continually behold Zion. But what could the Israelites do? They could become distracted and take their eyes off of the Temple Mount. They could take their focus off of the Holy One of Israel. They could take their eyes off of the one who saved them from Egypt and then begin to observe the nations. What would happen? they would become distracted. And brethren, understand the world can allure us. Do not underestimate the power of the allurements of the world. This should be no new claim to any of us. But while our God is powerful, in this current age, Satan and his enticements have strength and allurement and power. And the Israelites so easily could have looked at the nations around them. They could have looked at the Assyrians and the Philistines and the Babylonians and the Chaldeans and seen, oh, look at their power, look at their might, look at their grandeur, look at their strength, look at their glory. Our God has nothing compared to them. Our God lives in a little podunk mountain next to what the Babylonians have. The world can allure us, but as God's people, we must keep our focus. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I referenced a few of these principles last week, but I do want us to note the exact same warning Solomon gives to his son. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. I'm actually going to skip down. This whole section really begins in verse 10. But look at verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. I'm going to read verse 19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. What does Solomon warn his son of time after time after time in Proverbs? My son, do not be distracted. Don't be distracted. And brethren, isn't this really what takes our focus off of God? Distraction. I can remember about 6 months ago, I'd come home. I'd had a study or something that night and hadn't gotten home until about 9 or 10. And I was really wanting to play with Brooklyn. I hadn't seen her the entire day, and I was really wanting to play with her. And most of the time, y'all can tell, she's a very, very sociable child. But this night, for some reason, she had a little box of toys that had these little shapes in them and a little Noah's Ark that she was just enamored by. She was enamored by. The toys were bright yellow and red and orange, and they made noise. And then she had her boring old daddy sitting on the recliner who doesn't make beep beep noises or is red or orange. What do you think a 12-month-old's going to do? What do you think a 12-year-old's going to do? What do you think a 32-year-old is going to do? Follow the noises of the toys that go beep, beep. Brethren, Satan continually entices us. And we must continually have our guard up from the distractions of the world. Continually beholding Yahweh. And never giving in to the distractions of this world. But there's a second barrier to beholding that the psalmist warns us of. Psalm 115, look at verse 4. Here of talking about the idols of the nations. The writer's idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, notice the paradox. Mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. What is the problem, brethren? Idols can allure us. Now, I'm not going to give a full excursus on idolatry this morning. I'll probably share some thoughts that I share Friday night another time. But idolatry is a very, very, very real problem. When we put anything not before but above our God, we become idolaters. Whenever we seek glory in anything else other than our holy God, we become idolaters. And while none of us perhaps have bowed down to a wooden object or have bowed down to a metal image, idolatry is very alive in 21st century America. We can never give in to idols. Never can we give in to idols. But rather, what must we do? Noting the image of Isaiah, continually focus on our exalted God. Not giving way to distraction. Not giving thought to idols. But continually beholding our exalted God. So brethren, what then do we become? Understand where we are. The only way that I'm going to continually be grounded in God, the only way that those prongs on the ring are going to stay on, is if I continually behold the Lord. I can't give way to distraction. I can't give sight to idols, but I must continually behold the Lord. Well, if you become like what you behold, what do we become as we behold the Lord? Look at Psalm 115, begin in verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who will fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. I want to stop there for a moment. Do you notice the contrast between verse 4 and verse 15? Idols are the works of human hands, but even the heavens themselves are the work of God's hands. He's telling us here, yes, look to the things that God has made, but allow them to carry you back up to trust in all holy God. Verse 16. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. When you behold a God that is exalted, you become humble. When you behold a God who is loving, you become selfless. When you behold a God who is merciful, you become merciful. When you behold a God who is a servant, you yourself become a servant. No, brethren, I do not make claim that I can with my eyes see God. Nor do I make claim that I can with my ears hear the voice of my God. But I am convinced that the imprint of my God has been given in the personhood of Jesus, Colossians 1, and has now been revealed and carried on and endorsed through the Holy Scriptures. As we come to behold our God through the Scriptures that he's given, as we behold our God in careful meditation about its principles, as we behold our God in deep meditative prayer, knowing who he is, as we behold our God in psalms of praise, singing to his glorious might, as we behold our God in the Lord's Supper, seeing his sacrifice, as we behold our God in our praise, knowing his glory, as we behold our God in our lives, knowing his character, what then do we become? As Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 tells us, we become as beloved children, imitators of God. Much as a child does not intentionally take up the characteristics of its parent, nor does a parent, for that matter, take on the image of his or her child. When we behold our God, even subconsciously, we become like our God. The question then is, what God are you beholding? Are you beholding the one true God who made heaven and earth? Or are you beholding a God that you have made? Perhaps even more pointed, are you your own God? Solomon tells us, noting its principle from the Psalms, yes, we become like what we behold. But what did Solomon want his son to become? Let's finish by going to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do you notice the principle there? Acknowledge God, behold God, and then He transforms you. Same principle. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So answering our question, how can my trust in the Lord grow? How can I be further rooted and grounded in the truth of what God has said? Quite simply, by beholding our God. By beholding our God. You don't need your books for the invitation song. The song that we're going to sing in a moment is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I typically ask you to get your songbooks out, but now you have permission. Go ahead and put your Bibles up. Go ahead and put your Bibles and notes up, and I'll offer an invitation. I'd written this sermon, I think last week, two weeks ago, far before I'd learned much else. But brother, I'd like to share something very personal with you. I shared some of this on Friday night. Last week, Jessica and I learned that one of our very, very good friends, who's like a brother, has been living a lie for years. Has fallen into sins that I can't even begin to speak of. All while faking the name Christian. Finally, his sins found him out. Brethren, understand, your sin will find you out. Perhaps you in your own life have hidden secret sin. Perhaps you have been faking this whole Christian thing, when on the inside you have been a child of Satan. While the truth of sin is brutal and the eternal consequence that it will bring is incomprehensible, now is the time to repent. And now is the time to turn to our Lord. If anyone needs to respond to Zion's call this very morning, come forward while we stand and sing.